We stand to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Hear this parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, if someone asks me, how do I get to your church? I might say, just go down Blanco Road about a mile and it'll be on your right. And this is true if they are starting at Jim's, but it doesn't work very well if they're starting anywhere else. So perhaps instead I might say, do you know where Jim's is? Okay, from there, go south about a mile and it'll be on your right. Unfortunately, there are 18 gyms in the San Antonio area, and those directions only work for one. So perhaps the better way to answer the question is with a question. Where are you coming from? You know, it seems obvious that our route to the same destination will be different depending on our starting point. However, if we look at many of the arguments and debates that go on around us, we'll see disagreements about which starting place is better or which route is better, often to the degree that the destination is lost or obscured. This is by no means a new phenomenon. This is exactly what Jesus encounters as we move through Matthew's narrative to today's lesson. In the 12th chapter, the Pharisees have focused so intently on the route of the Sabbath that they've entirely forgotten its destination. So when Jesus challenges them to see beyond the route to the destination, to move beyond ritual to purpose, to recapture the Sabbath as a time of nourishment, of renewal, and of healing, the Pharisees depart and conspire against him, seeking how to destroy him. Then Jesus draws attention to the kingdom of God as the destination in contrast to the kingdoms of this world and demands a choice. He points to the fork in the road, the place where we must choose our destination in order to determine our route. That place is you exit I-37 and you have to choose to go east to Houston or west to El Paso. In the middle of this, the scribes and the Pharisees demand a sign, as if healing weren't enough of a sign. And Jesus reveals that the way of the kingdom leads through the cross and the grave, through suffering and death, to the joy of the resurrection. We still resist this path today, We try to reason around our own need to follow it by trying to change our starting point or to change our route. But in the end, we only succeed in settling for a lesser destination. Finally, Jesus redefines our primary starting point, our family. He tells us that true kinship is only found in the love and the will of the Father. And this brings us to the opening of our gospel lesson today as Jesus teaches the crowds in parables. This is the start of the third major discourse in Matthew's gospel, the parables of the kingdom. So as we begin the first of three Sundays in this discourse, it's worth taking a quick look at parables. Parables are disruptive stories. They challenge us to see in a different way. They offer directions that point us to a destination without necessarily giving a route. They challenge our understanding of our own location and the path that we're on. They may even challenge our understanding of our destination. Parables challenge us to step out of our structured, analytical, rational way of knowing God with our mind and embrace a creative, intuitive, imaginative way of knowing God with our heart. Parables move us from logical propositions and mathematical equations into the realm of story. Jesus describes the function of parables as he orients his teachings in parables in terms of the prophecy of Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah stands in the throne room of God. He's awed by God. He's cleansed by fire from angels. God says, "Who shall I send?" Isaiah says, "Send me." And God warns him about the people to whom he will speak. This is what Jesus quotes as he describes why he teaches in parables. Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not hear, or seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." Author Madeline L'Engle describes the power of story. She says that when she has an idea, a grand idea that she suspects will be too difficult for adults to understand, she puts it into a children's book. New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine describes the parables as having a surplus of meaning, a superabundance of meaning. And when we try to force parables into a single meaning, we truncate the power of the story to challenge, to provoke, and to transform. The power of parables lies in their ability to point us to a common destination from many different beginnings along many different routes. In truth, we do not so much read and study the parables as they read and study us. So I want to examine a few ways that this parable of the sower read me this week, and then invite you to allow this parable and the parables in the coming week to read and study you. First, I considered what this parable reveals if I am the field. As I hear the message about the kingdom, in what ways do I refuse to understand and thus allow the evil one to snatch away what God has intended for me? In what ways do I joyfully receive the gospel right up until it demands something of me? And then I allow the kingdom to wither in me. In what ways do I allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to crowd out the word of the kingdom? As I look at the challenges, the debates, and the divisions in our nation, in our churches, and even in myself, along the lines of race and wealth and gender, community, sexuality, and poverty, in any number of issues that we fight and argue about, am I truly willing to allow the word of the kingdom to speak and to bear fruit in these challenging areas? Am I truly willing to hear and to understand the way of the kingdom? Am I willing to turn my heart toward God and be healed? I also consider what the parable might reveal about ministry if I see myself as simply a seed. In the ministry of proclaiming and manifesting the kingdom of God, teaching, healing, welcoming, baptizing, restoring, perhaps faithfulness in ministry is simply being scattered, simply being sown. We may be misunderstood and rejected. We may be received with fleeting joy or seen as afterthoughts by busy people. We may see true transformation and healing and a bountiful harvest, but the seed which lands on the path or on the rocky soil or among the weeds is just as fruitful and faithful as a seed as the one that lands on fertile soil. Perhaps I spend too much effort trying to be the sower, or trying to change the ground, or trying to find my faithfulness in my fruitfulness. Perhaps I can simply rest in being a seed sown by the loving hand of God. These are two ways that this parable and its explanation by Jesus has read and explored me this week. I invite you to hear this disruptive story with your heart, with your soul this week. And over the next few weeks, as we talk about the parables of the kingdom, to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, and have your hearts turned and changed by God. I wonder what the parables might reveal about where you were starting, or how you have been traveling. I wonder how you might see some of the crossroads and choices in your present journey. In all of this, I invite you to consider, how is the Holy Spirit leading you to the kingdom? And I invite you to step out of the analytical and into the creative. I invite you to move from your mind to your heart, to encounter the parable and let the Holy Spirit encounter and inspire you. I invite you to read the parables, draw a picture, write a poem, tell a story, to sing or to dance, to express God in what you do, to express God in your heart. Indeed, the way of the kingdom is abundant in meaning and far too difficult for adults. I think this is why Jesus says, if you want to enter the kingdom, you must be as a little child. And I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing the version of a children's story that the Holy Spirit writes in you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.